Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, earlier this week, I brought up Pop-Up Bagels, which is now in my neighborhood, and I want to thank Brian and the crew because I don't know if it was Wiggy or somebody was asking how different could a bagel really be? And so didn't they show up this morning with warm bagels?
Oh, my God.
But Wiggy, you can answer your own question. Or Courtney, you can.
I'm telling you, it's not overhyped.
Okay.
Like, you're seeing it all over social media right now. The lines are, They're warm.
Correct.
And you rip them apart. Yeah. And I don't know if this is like good ASMR, but I'm hoping you can hear the crunch of the outside.
You can hear it.
Yeah. I think we can.
I like the what do you call it? The schmear?
The schmear.
I got like a cream cheese and chive one, which is pretty
you're
interesting.
You're happy with the schmear? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
One of the best bagels I've ever had in my life.
And is it about the water, or what is it about when it comes to the bagel? Like, is there a secret to the bagel, Brian?
It's the entire process,
labor of love.
Seems like to me, like when I rip it open, the bagel.
Yeah, that's, you're supposed to rip it. That's what
normally you cut a bagel open.
No.
But you know what it seems like? It seems more like, it's weird and it sounds stupid, but it seems more bready than like a bagel, because it almost looks like
brioche.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like a bread. I don't know. It's just something different about it. I gotta admit, I didn't think a bagel could be different, but there's just something different about this this bagel.
Okay, all right. Chime, are you giving one a go or?
I think
abstaining?
I will in the next break.
I know you've been very, very good when it comes to your diet.
Oh yeah, you know,
maybe a quarter.
I'll grab a
little bit of a schmear.
If it's warm, I'll grab it.
It's so good.
Curtis went with the butter schmear.
Yeah, sweet today. The special butter is Fruity Pebbles, Fruit Loops, something like that.
Fruit Loop butter. Yeah,
and I mean, honestly, you could put like gasoline on this thing; it'd still be good. But it was very good butter. It is excellent. The sesame bagel is unbelievably good.
All right, well, Pop-Up Bagels, great job. Thanks for coming by.
Appreciate that, man.
They're right over there in the Seaport. Get there early because there's a line around the corner every single day.
Best phrase, too. The not famous but known.
Yes.
That is their catchphrase.
That's their catchphrase. Not famous but known.
That's to be our show title.
All right, we should get back to the rest of the news this morning.
All right. Thank you. Doctors are saying that the norovirus is at an epidemic stage. It's a different strain than they've seen before. So now, of course, you know, you've got to panic. Experts are cautioning that the norovirus, this specific strain, keep spreading because people think that they can combat it with hand sanitizer. Unfortunately, that's not going to cut it. With this strain, you have to wash your hands properly and often.
Yeah. Well, I saw a report on this yesterday, and the issue seems to be, and I always trust the science, Curtis. So do you.
Totally. Sorry, I've got a bagel.
Science on this seems to be that the we went through a period where people were locked down. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yes.
I do.
And during that period of time, the immune system of human beings was affected because you were not exposed to things like the norovirus and other things.
Right. Yeah.
Therefore, the noro is worse than it's ever been because the immune systems of people were damaged by that lockdown.
Dwight Schrute was right then.
Right? They should have hand desanitizing stations right. as a means to build up your immunity.
We should embrace the bacteria.
It's right. the worst, though. Give me the regular flu all day long over the noro.
Oh,
so noro
that
comes
year.
Out both ends, right?
It's the worst thing in the world. Honestly, it does.
I'm asking the question. Yeah. I mean,
I always thought that was hyperbole until it happened to me.
All right.
I'm a good weight loss program.
Oh, phenomenal. It's like ayahuasca.
All right.
This is interesting. Michelle Wu, in her first term, has hired 301 new employees.
How many?
301.
301?
Yeah. Would you like to know what the average salary for these 301 are?
Sure.
125.
Yeah. Well, a third of them earning more than $100,000. On Tuesday, she sent a letter to the city council saying that the average salary among those newly created positions is $84,781 in this economy.
So
and that's pretty good.
It's a total of $27 million.
That is correct.
Where did that money come from? I thought we were in a massive fiscal crisis in this city.
Oh, remember, we got all that COVID money we never used.
300 people? What are they doing?
But here's my question, Greg. How can anybody that works in these bureaucracies ever understand private industry? Like, this business, like many in media, is in a fight for survival.
Yeah.
And the company every day makes decisions based on the bottom line because there isn't a way to just get $27 million in the, you know, in between your couch cushions. Like, how could they, in what way could these have been added when the city says, we just put up real estate tax in the city of Boston, 30%?
What are 300 additional employees doing?
Well, didn't we have the nightlife employee?
Czar.
Czar of the streets.
Right, we didn't have a nightlife czar. You're right about
Think
that.
About all the different things that we can, you know, there's got to be like a bike lane czar. Who the hell knows?
All right. That seems like a lot of money to spend.
Yeah, it does.
When you're struggling financially as a city. But who am I to judge?
You should run.
I'm not, huh?
You should run.
No. I don't.
Did you see the Jingle All the Way 5K not happening?
You know, I thought that was a great event. Yeah. I don't know why people got upset about it. I really enjoyed it.
People were upset over your 5K?
Traffic was disrupted.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Some neighborhood group complained.
Traffic's always
disrupted. Wow, you're causing issues on Nantucket.
I know.
Tell them to kick rocks.
Yeah.
It's like I used to get in trouble for throwing parties when I was in high school. And then I would get in trouble for throwing parties when I lived in Stowe, and now I'm still getting in trouble for throwing.
You have been known to flirt with the law.
Some people don't change, apparently.
Right.
We have a new inductee into the Pervert Teachers Association.
Okay. All right. Jesus, haven't they taught you these things in school?
What things?
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
We were meant to be, I know it. How else could sex be that incredible?
Pervert Teachers Association.
That is appalling. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
Now, all these people we talk about are disgusting, right? Yeah. But there is a special place in hell when it comes to an educator at a special needs school that falls into this category. And a New York gym teacher at a special education school in the Bronx is on the outs after parents were alerted yesterday that he exposed himself and put his genitals into a Lysol bottle in front of his students.
What the hell?
What particular lesson did that fall under?
I don't believe any.
Was that hygiene or was that health class?
Cleaning your tools.
That was That was gym class.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, this piece of dirt in 2024 made $100,000.
Oh, my God.
And parents are now speaking out, as they should, to the media, saying, my child is nonverbal, so I have no idea what they've seen, what's gone on. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, that is a photo of said gym teacher. He has been released on bail.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Like, honestly, I saw a bill yesterday, which they're looking to put into place this year, which is death penalty for child predators, which I sign up for 1,000 times out of 1,000.
Yeah.
But, like, you sign up to work with people that are nonverbal, and you abuse the most vulnerable people. Like, you don't deserve to live. Like, what?
No.
Whack job.
No. God, horrible. Is that.
It's gross.
I hope there's a hell just for him.
Yeah.
Oh, there is one.
Now, Shime, listen up for this one. Science is saying processed red meat has been linked to elevated risk of dementia.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the hot dogs.
Hot dogs, bacon, deli meats.
What? No.
Whoa. Pump the brakes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pump the brakes.
Nope, not happening.
You're not giving. They can pry the glizzy out of your cold, dead hands.
They can pry. You know, I love a good grilled dog. That and the prosciutto. And the salami?
Uh-huh.
Yes. What does it give you?
Dementia.
What does it give you?
Isn't that genetics, though? Like, isn't dementia linked to genetics?
I've looked into this.
No way I'm giving up my cinnamon bacon.
Right. Yeah, ain't no shot I'm giving up bacon. No chance.
14% higher risk if you're eating, you know, a lot of bacon.
Oh. Of what?
14% higher risk of, dementia.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Try that one again.
First time was better.
Okay. That's it for the news.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right. Well done today.
Yeah,
Good job.
Great job.
Thank you.
It is a Bruins Thursday. Mike Milbury will join us at 9.
Mm-hmm.
Reminder, a week from tomorrow, the first snow show of snow show season, we will be at Loon Mountain again. Last year, you guys showed up huge at Loon Mountain.
Yeah.
And we had no idea, by the way. Like, sometimes we, as Tommy Kern would say, burp these things into the ether.
Yeah.
And have no idea who's going to come. And it was awesome last year.
Right.
So next Friday, South Peak, Loon Mountain, a full snow show. We'll be up there the night before for a pregame. I had mentioned yesterday we were invited to go to a new place, the Bluebird Martini Bar.
Yes.
Which sounds really good. We have some ski, as Shime calls them, ski and shred packages.
Shred that gnar, bro.
which are available. In fact, Mitch can share the information with you right now if you're watching the show on Twitch or on YouTube. But there are a limited amount available to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation. So if you get the package, you get a beautiful room right there at the Riverwalk,
yes,
which is the name of the hotel there on South Peak. And then you get two lift tickets, which is a $200 value. And you get to obviously join us and hang out at the pregame the night before.
Which is priceless.
Which is priceless.
Really is.
And then that morning, obviously, you will be with us for the snow show. And then you can ski or board a Friday away.
Have a blast.
At Loon Mountain.
Such a beautiful place, too. That whole area is a beautiful place. And that was another reason why I respect people that, you know, I come in close contact with. And that was another reason why I took the upstairs bedroom, because I'm a late night go to bed type of person, so I didn't want to be downstairs making a bunch of noise, watching TV.
It's actually nicer to be downstairs. Instead, I could hear you banging, you know, your feet walking into your room.
But downstairs, a lot of the rooms were like, you know, bunk bed or double rooms. So I didn't want to have, you know, I know Curtis likes to go to bed a little bit early. I didn't want to.
Curtis was at the hotel.
Yeah, I was.
Interrupt his sleep. So that's why I took the upstairs room.
I appreciate the effort to get out of it, but Courtney, we discussed this earlier. It's a douche move.
No, it isn't.
It is.
It's called respecting
put her luggage.
Your roommates.
We had a house, a beautiful house,
beautiful.
In chalet.
Yep. Yeah.
Courtney put her luggage in the room.
Who was the first to show up?
At the house.
I
think it was you.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. Eamon?
Okay.
No, I was there before Eamon.
Griff gets the big room.
They were at the other place.
When you walked into the room,
right?
This was the master suite.
Yeah,
And you saw Courtney's luggage in there.
What? It wasn't in there. I was there before Courtney.
But your luggage
No, my luggage was outside the door.
No, it was not outside of the bedroom door. It was not.
Courtney, you be capping. We all know.
Nope, it's all right. It's okay.
My luggage was outside.
The only girl staying in a house full of guys.
Right, hey, it was, listen, women's equality. It's 2025.
Amen. What about chivalry?
Yeah.
Huh? It's dead. Like you give the woman, give her the best, we should give her the choice of rooms.
But wouldn't you say, Greg, it's chivalrous to treat a woman just like you would treat a man?
Right.
Treatment under the law.
I don't know what Courtney wants. And my chivalry is when we go to Florida to make sure the doors are locked.
You are very nice.
I'm confused. You said you put your luggage in the room.
Correct.
So when, and then did you get back? We had the pregame.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to the after party.
Yeah.
At that dude's house.
Yes.
yep.
Which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a beautiful house, too.
Wasn't that fun?
Too much fun.
Yeah,
that dude.
Marcus his name. Yeah. And he throws an unbelievable after party. Right.
Yeah.
Really
I'm
is.
Assuming there'll be another one this year.
And we
I'm not
stay
drinking,
in his house.
So I probably won't go.
Right.
Uh-huh. But when we got back, to be clear, because Wiggy's denying it, mm-hmm. he had removed your luggage from the room.
He had done that before we went.
But I never touched the luggage.
No,
I,
you just came in and said,
see,
whoa.
You're capping because you said I removed your luggage.
No, I did not. I said I said I was in there and
the
then you came in and you
bit
said,
all over the place.
No, and you said, Courtney, so you're staying in here? And I said, well, no, there were no bags. You said, well, I was the first one here. I said, okay. And I just removed myself, you know, walked down to the basement, the cold basement. Where there, I believe, was a door right outside. Somebody could have come and snatched me.
No,
in the
but you
of the
were
night.
Downstairs was Greg, Eamon, Griff. So there was a bunch
and
of
me.
A bunch of guys to protect you.
My sophomore year at BC, I was on the top bunk and I got woken up to the people beneath me in lovemaking. What do you do?
I think you let them do what they want to do. Greg, if somebody breaks into the house and Courtney's upstairs by herself and we're all downstairs.
That's a problem.
That is a major issue.
Right.
At least, you know, maybe I can.
Why? He'd have to get through all of you to get to her.
No, but if he break, because the way the house is made, the first floor level is on the ground, like the ground level, and then the basement.
And then you walk downstairs.
Now you're giving her Kohlberger vibes. Please stop with that.
I'm just trying to help her out because
I did think about that when we got there. I was
Well,
I was nervous because
God,
when you and I went, you know, I was like, Greg, make sure to turn on your alarm. You didn't. And then Wiggy was the last one to come. I'm like, is he going to remember to lock the door? You know, you think about these things.
Right. And that's why you being downstairs with a bunch of guys is, I feel like you're more at ease than being upstairs by yourself.
Mm. Oh, that's a good spin zone.
Well, no, it's the truth.
You have to be careful because Coach takes the towel and wets it and puts it under the door jamb so nobody smells the weed.
No. I told you, I smoke the oil so the weed doesn't have a major stink to it. And the bathroom was spectacular, too.
Yeah, it was really?
Oh, yeah.
It was a bathtub.
It was a jacuzzi tub, too, which I made sure that I took a nice bath.
Is that why you played for the Jets?
I did. And then the shower had the little shower nozzles. That like spew out from the side, so
Mark said he actually had to replace the bathroom after you were there.
I'm huge on showers.
Oh, okay.
Love a good shower.
That was too kinda much of a pause.
Left that hanging.
Seven is
dominated
nuts,
the world.
Though.
This is Paul from Uxbridge. Hello, Paul.
Good morning, you guys. Okay, I got to make one comment. You guys looked incredibly refreshed the next morning. You guys must have hit like an oxygen bar or had like Pedialyte because you guys were glowing. Hey, Wiggy, any chance that we're going to get you up the mountain next year? I mean, this time.
On a lift, he's terrified of going on a chairlift.
Not happening.
Never?
Nope.
I think you should, Wiggy.
We just had a story of the guy. Who was the story where, didn't we just have a story where people got stuck on a lift or fell off the lift?
Yeah.
And you think I'm getting up there? And those things look all flimsy and it's like held together by aluminum. It's not even steel.
Well, Curtis has never snowboarded. He's going to snowboard.
Yeah, and I have a serious fear of heights.
Yeah, but Curtis
is going to snowboard during the show.
Curtis is a lot lighter than I am.
Which you've never done, correct?
I have never snowboarded. I used to go to Neshoba every Wednesday, Dover Sherburn, or actually it was just Dover, Carroll School, went up there. But I haven't been in a while. I went up and did the idiot's option at one of those at Attitash or something, and then I got terrified, so I haven't been back.
So you had like the ski, we at my school, Notre Dame, we had ski Fridays where you had a half day of school, and then we went to Wachusett.
We all had that.
Yeah. Oh.
Ours was at Neshoba.
Oh.
Like Curtis's.
I only did bumper skiing as a kid growing up.
I was on the A ski team, by the way, at Neshoba.
Oh, really?
Area. Yes.
So you're a pretty good skier then.
I was back in the day.
It's actually Greg's only A.
I
was...
So why don't you
hit the slopes? I had momentum. It was gravity. I had a little extra momentum.
Why don't you hit the slopes?
That's why I'm a great at tubing.
Why don't you hit the slopes?
I could. I mean, I could. I still ski to this day. I just, I got a show to do. If you want, I could
put the GoPro on and go up to the top of this peak that looks like it's going into the pearly gates of heaven and come down that thing with the...
I will happily do that if you want.
I'd like to demonstrate
my skiing prowess.
I have to say, Greg, I bet everything I have that you had really weird-looking goggles.
Well, I didn't wear glasses back then, Curtis.
Right.
So.
I mean, everybody looks good in ski goggles, but I that's the only question I have is I have to get all the equipment and stuff. Like, how do I do that?
We'll take care of that.
No, they'll hook you up.
We'll hook you up.
Okay.
We'll do all that.
I'm ready to go. We'll mic me up.
All right. Well, reach out to Ashley at the Greg Hill Foundation. Her email is ashley@thegreghillfoundation.org. And she sent me a text earlier. I think we mentioned this during the 6 o'clock hour, and they're already running low. So a bunch of people have reached out, but reach out now if you want a ski and shred package for next week. Snow show number one at Loon Mountain. Here is Courtney right now with what is trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Celtics, tough night in Toronto, 110-97. The final three-pointers for the guys, they weren't falling. They made just 16 of their 46, and when it came to defense, they just didn't look good last night. Kristaps Porzingis talked about the loss and wasn't happy with how they played.
I think we played with no spirit, with no personality. And it's just a weak performance from us, honestly. So, yeah, we just play with no personality right now.
They're off tonight before taking on the Magic tomorrow at the TD Garden. And speaking of three-pointers, Adam Silver has heard the concerns, like Wiggy, about the amount of three-pointers that players are taking right now, and was on The Herd with Colin Cowherd yesterday saying, we're on it as stewards of the game. We'll tweak it. We will correct those issues.
I just don't know how you fix it, though.
But how do you tweak it other than limiting the amount of – it seems anti-basketball to tell somebody what shot they can take.
Right, and I don't know how you, because people say, well, move the three-point line back.
That was Cowherd. Cowherd wanted that.
But the thing nowadays, I mean, even last night's game, you got guys like Peyton Pritchard pulling up from the, just over the half-court line. So that's not going to deter them from shooting three-pointers.
Yeah.
If you move it back a little bit. And I know some people say eliminate where it goes into the corner three, but then that kind of messes with the whole floor spacing. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do eliminate that.
Well, and Adam Silver said he didn't want to do a knee-jerk reaction to, moving the three-point line. So
the only thing I could think that they could do, and this is next level off-the-board thinking.
Make every shot worth three?
Bingo.
I didn't think I was being facetious.
No, I'm dead ass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make every shot
even
worth
foul
three.
Shots.
No. Like, I mean, not foul shots. You keep foul shots as is, but make two-pointers and three-pointers. How the NBA...
Celtics beat the Wizards 280 to 222 last night.
Oh, do what the NBA used to do. Yeah. No three-point line.
What if we do this? No matter the score at the end of the game, one fan can shoot from half court to get it to OT.
Just off the wall thinking, Greg.
Yeah. They should institute the golden ball shot. Where one player gets to shoot a shot that is worth 25 points.
That'd be cool.
And I'm getting a lot of contact from Twitch, text, and my family attorney that I shouldn't be doing this, and I'm very likely to get injured.
Really? Really?
Yeah. James P. Albini says I'm much more likely to get injured while on a snowboard than on skis.
Yeah.
Really?
Really? I thought it was the other way around.
No.
I thought skiing was hotter than snowboarding.
More strain on your knees, I believe.
Is what they said. Right. I don't know.
Well,
left ass Megal.
There are some in the Twitch chat who appear to be hoping for some kind of a morbid injury.
Well,
mortal injury, or morbid either.
They have a morbid desire for me to have a mortal injury.
Yes.
We'll go outside and play in a brand new Subaru with symmetrical all-wheel drive to keep you adventuring all winter long. SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here is Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is 19 degrees in Boston. Afternoon high of 31. Watching a storm Sunday into Monday for all you traveling from Martin Luther King.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Weekend.
Coming up at 9, Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday, and this is Chuck from New Hampshire, where we will be 1 week from tomorrow for the snow show at Loon. Hello, Chuck.
Morning, guys. How are you?
What's up?
I wanted to ask you guys something, you know, about the three-point shot. Because I had read a comment by Adam Silver about that this morning. But now when they had implemented the three-point shot, the 1980 season, now how do you guys think the offense was going before that without the three-point shot prior to that?
What do you mean? It was basically a big man, low post, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar type of basketball league.
Sky hook.
Yeah, you know,
it was get the ball inside. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, always had shooters like
right.
Bob Cousy, whatever.
How was Bob Cousy his rookie year? Did he look good or
probably more of a mid-range game?
Larry Bird, whatever. But what bothers me is the over reliance on it, because if you're not hitting them, then you end up being in trouble. And the Celtics of late have to go. To the contested twos, and they're not that great at that. So I don't know. But what's summarize your thought for me, Chuck?
Well, I heard that Bob Cousy had said, was it last year or around about that, he said that the Celtics shouldn't use that as a first option. It should be a weapon, but not as a first option.
Well, too late for that. I mean, that's Joe Mazzulla's philosophy. Wiggy says he's the best coach in the NBA, and so I don't think they're going away.
Yeah, but that's kind of like with the new NBA is. When you think about it, how many teams are built where their game is to win in the low post. I mean, there are big men out there, so I wouldn't say, you know, like built on big men.
They're not built that way, but you could have adjusted your game when you got Porzingis.
Porzingis, the reason why he's the unicorn is because of his ability to knock down three-pointers. So, like, when you think about you get a guy like that, the whole thing in the NBA now is about spacing and opening the floor up, and the way you do that is you want to have guys that can knock down threes. And when you start to see the way the game has evolved over the years.
Yeah. I don't agree the discussion started because there is a news report or there was some speculation that the NBA is going to look at the over-reliance on the three-pointer and how they can, if it's affecting the overall game, what they can do about that. But I'm not...
Like, but why do you think more...
Like, you don't... Because guys are successful in shooting the ball from 3 points, and from the 3-point line, it's an advantage. You don't take that away.
You know how you get better ratings in the regular season, no matter whether there's threes or not? You decrease the number of playoff teams. And you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. The reason fans aren't interested in the regular season is because, by and large, the best players aren't.
Yeah, because it's a stupid playing game, too. That's stupid. Like, you know,
right,
10
you
teams.
Now have the entire league outside of, what, six that aren't eligible to get into the playoffs at the conclusion of the regular season? That's no way to run a business. But they keep missing the forest for the trees because they're saying that we get extra money from TNT, NBC, and ESPN if we have more playoff games.
Right.
But just like in baseball, where the one-game playoff was the freaking balls, they made it a three-game play-in because they wanted to get the two extra games when negotiating a new TV deal.
And this is a reaction to the ratings, you believe, right?
Of course.
Which have continued
20%.
To drop precipitously mm-hmm. for the NBA.
Right. And the thing that, and the reason why is because, and my way of fixing it, it might have been off the wall, but it takes that stupid analytics out of it. Because why do you think so many teams hawk up threes nowadays? Because
I honestly think it's because the players want to shoot them, and because
because the players
run the league.
The reason the
ratings have dropped in.
I'm not talking about the ratings.
No, but in general, let me get this out. It's because these guys are focused only on offense. Nobody plays any defense because mm-hmm. it's not
flashy.
You know, flashy. Mm. And so people find the game boring. If the game is only offense and it's only three-pointers, people find that boring.
And the other reason that this is an issue, just like in baseball, the best players are seeing their contracts only rise. And they're being told they need to change for the health of the game when the game is the one giving them $600 million for a 6-year deal. So if you're LeBron James or Steph Curry or Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, why do you need to change anything?
The reason why is because of the stupid analytics part that was brought into this, where people will say if the three-pointer is more valuable than the two-pointer, so the more three-pointers you take, even if you have a better field goal percentage and two-pointers, the more three-pointers you take will give you a better chance of winning the basketball game. So that's why I know it was a crazy theory, but if you and I know you don't want to really eliminate the three-point line.
You could.
But if you eliminated the three-point line, then there's no analytics where teams go, hey, they could shoot 50% from the field,
yeah,
and we shoot 35% from three-point line, and we win based on analytics.
That would be one fix, would be just eliminating the three entirely. Right. Every bucket is worth 2 points. Doesn't matter where you shoot it from. Right. And, I mean, I guess that would be...
Because that's the analytics part of it, Greg. It's even now in football, right?
What about golden shooter? Only one guy is allowed to shoot threes throughout the entire game. I would go with Pete Pritch.
But, Greg, just in all sincerity...
I kind of like that. And you can pick a different one for each game.
Yeah, you could select who your golden shooter is going into the game.
If this ratings decrease is with sports betting now everywhere, which everybody thought was going to be this shot of adrenaline into each of these leagues' TV ratings.
Like, yeah.
It's not good.
This is Ed from my adopted home continent, the Maine. What's up, Ed?
How are you, folks? Great show as usual. I've got the solution. All they need to do is get the soccer parents involved. and then have no points, and everyone gets a trophy.
That's a good fix.
That is a good fix.
That's a good fix.
But I and they're not going to obviously do away with the 3-point line. So I think this is just going to be something because that's just the way it is. They'll say, hey, if we shoot this percentage from the 3-point line because threes are worth more than twos, it's going to give us a better chance of win. And that's how the analytics play into the games nowadays. Until there's a way, unless they make it, and I saw some of this before, but, you know, like the alley-oop being worth more. But how do you get the game back if you're not going to eliminate the 3-point line? You're still going to have it where people are just going to hawk up threes and say, it gives us a better chance of win because three is more than two.
How have we gone the whole entire show without you bringing up the speculation that T-Swift is spending nearly $2 million on an addition to her Watch Hill, Rhode Island mansion because that is where she and Mr. Swift are going to settle family home-wise in their during their forthcoming marriage?
Well, people are taking it a step further and thinking that the renovations that are going on, which I believe is the kitchen, the porch, and some bathrooms,
are because of baby on the way?
Are because of hosting a wedding on the property.
Really?
Mm. And can I just say, yesterday, I got a text from the person who owned it last.
Yes.
Saying they've been in need of renovations for 22 to 23 years, and that they think it may be wedding related.
Yeah.
Really?
That is my guess, is that they're going to get married there. And I bet it's going to happen this offseason.
They should not do it anywhere near this state because stalker.
I will be there that weekend.
Oh, you will?
I will be there that weekend. I will be saying, Santo, let's go stay at what's that hotel that's right on the beach down the roadway? Oh, she's had a wedding there 2 summers ago. Gosh, my memory.
There's a guy who listens to this show.
Watch Hill.
Watch Hill is where it is. There's a guy who listens to this show on our Rhode Island station who owns a bar that's on the beach right there who wanted us to do a road show. So maybe we'll do like a pop-up road show on wedding weekend or something at that bar.
Oh, I would be so happy. And then like maybe some connection we could get Travis on. I don't know. I'm just manifesting.
I don't think so.
But yeah, $1.7 million, it's nothing for her.
No.
Drop in the bucket.
No.
That dude hit the lottery.
Oh, man.
Did he not?
I told you. He better slip one past the goalie. He better slip
one. Stop saying that. They're going to get like
maybe. Probably gonna, I would assume that she's going to make him sign a massive prenup, right?
Well, yeah, I would hope for, yeah, I think both very successful people, obviously she has more money than he does. Yeah, they'll definitely sign a prenup.
Well, she got a lot she's more money than billions. He does.
I know. So, yes. I think that they'll both sign prenups.
Do you
but
think he'd be willing to?
Yes.
I wouldn't.
Yes.
Why should he sign a prenup? They're in love.
I told you, slip one past the goalie and you're set for life, brother. You don't need a prenup or none of that. Just say, hey, you know what? You're always on the road. I'll take the kid.
I don't think he's going to need to slip one past the goalie. I think that they'll be able to create a family together. Like, I don't think that...
Listen, you might be right. I still... You know,
what was that bet? 500 bucks?
Yeah, by July 1st, I believe. Or
that
June,
they're not broken up.
That they're not broken up. Yeah. And you might be right.
I'll take that in cash, not Venmo.
All right, that is fine.
The Rhode Island listeners on the Subaru of New England text line suggest that they hate Taylor Swift living there.
Oh, do they?
So unlike Courtney, they can't stand that she lives in the Ocean State.
Yeah, it's the Ocean House. Thank you, 401 texter. That's the hotel. It's gorgeous.
It's not lasting long. I don't know, Travis, but I don't know. Like, you go out there and you're like, oh, I'm a massive Taylor Swift fan. Can somebody hook me up with tickets to her concert? And now all of a sudden, like, you're dating her. I don't know.
It's been over a year.
Is she going to be at the game this weekend,
Courtney?
Yeah,
no.
What?
Is she going to be at the game this weekend?
Yeah, I would imagine so. She has nothing going on right now.
No. And I just think it's so cool that I have partied in the place where Courtney's best friend is getting married.
I am so jealous, Curtis. Curtis has photos in it.
I have a photo I just sent to Mitch of myself, Crazy Carl, and Jordan.
Wow.
Overlooking the wonderful, it is the highest residential point on the entire East Coast.
Jesus.
There is no place.
The entire East Coast?
Yes. There is what's the thing you call at the top? When you go out,
Widow's Walk.
On the top, that is like 30 stories in the air. It is wild. Wow. It is already on a cliff.
Do you know why they call it a widow's walk?
Yeah, because women, wives, would go up there to wait for their fishermen husbands to come back.
Where did it start?
Nantucket.
Yes.
I thought it was because guys went up there and then, you know, after the woman has been driving them crazy, jumped off to their death.
Oh my God.
Talk about morbid.
Oh, there it is. There's me. Look at that. I don't know what year that was.
That would be a widower's walk, not a widow's walk.
Oh, Curtis, I remember my first beer. That's cool. It's a cool photo.
We were drunk.
Yeah, I was getting it in.
It's so pretty, though. I mean...
Courtney hates everyone in there because don't they all got cargo shorts on?
Yeah.
It was a different time. It was a different time.
Look at that.
I give you a pass. Different time.
They still wear those cargo shorts.
Yeah, Curtis, you were in great shape back then.
Yeah. Well, that was, well, age, life.
That's right on
child,
the water, huh?
Age,
yeah. Child. This industry.
Blame it on the kid.
No.
So who owned the house? The
Jordan. On the left.
Okay, I was going to say.
Jordan Benson, his dad
is. The black guy or the white guy?
Well, Jordan's dad was the CEO of MetLife.
Okay, so that's the white dude who owned the house.
Jürgen.
What's even crazier is that, so Taylor Swift has included Jordan's family in one of her songs, which is just...
Oh, really?
I didn't know
that. American Dynasty. There's talk. The whole song goes through the history of that house.
I don't think that's that family.
That
song's about a woman who... Is that Jordan's family? Have they owned it for hundreds of years?
No. At the end of the song, it goes through the people that owned it from her until Taylor got it.
Oh, okay.
I don't think... I don't know if Jordan likes that.
You're saying at the end of the... I don't want to dispute you on lyrics, but I hate saying this. I happen to like that song.
Yeah.
It's about a woman, like a wealthy oil guy who bought that home in the 20s.
Yes.
Okay, but that's not that family.
No.
But what does it say at the end of the song?
I'm trying to find the exact lyric because I don't want to.
She just shouts out everybody who lived there from the time of that woman.
Okay, so 50 years is a long time. Holiday house sat quietly on the beach. So this is after she sells it. Free of women with madness, their men in bad habits, and then it was bought by me.
Right. But that's not.
I don't know why this is happening.
That's okay.
Yeah. So where did she say?
I don't want to correct you on lyrics, but that has nothing to do with Jordan's family.
Curtis.
Might.
Yeah, thank you. Curtis and I have talked about this before, actually.
Oh, so it's subliminal lyrics. It doesn't actually mention them by name.
No. Yes.
You got to know the backstory of Curtis's friend, Jordan, to know if it's about them.
All right, we're going to take a break, unfortunately. Really enjoying this conversation.
Hey, you brought it up.
We will be right back. Well, I would love to continue with Courtney's obsession with the Kelseys, but Baseball Brett has called the program with some pressing issues. Hello, Brett.
Wow.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, crew. How are you?
What's up?
Yeah, I have two things to discuss, Greg. One of them is the state of the Boston Red Sox. The other is the state of Major League Baseball free agency because they're absolutely killing the sport.
Okay.
The way that they're currently doing their free agency, there's still about half of the best free agents still on the market unsigned. And I thought last year with Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery not signing until late and Montgomery, they both had terrible years. I thought that would kind of shift the paradigm of guys signing early and kind of getting into the program and attaching themselves to teams. It's not happening.
Well, yeah, you look at the Red Sox are able to essentially wait on Bregman because he's not getting much interest anywhere else.
The so market's
they're gonna,
not
they're
going
to wait him out on money. I guess.
Yeah, you know what? It reminds me like when you sell your house, right? They usually the first offer is the best offer.
Yeah.
He got like 6 years, $160 million offer from Houston, turned him down. So I'm anxious to see what he's going to get, but it seems like the Red Sox being patient and waiting, they might be able to get him for a short-term deal, which is obviously great for them because they're cheap.
Yeah. It seems like now, Brett, in Major League Baseball, unless you're the top of the top of the top when it comes to elite free agents.
The Dodgers.
Well, I'm saying player-wise. Like, unless you're like a Juan Soto, a Shohei Ohtani, Yamamoto, it seems like Major League Baseball teams are looking to trying to lowball a lot of players when it comes to giving them those you know, those type of deals that they're looking for.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right, Wiggy. And it's too bad too, right? Because I think you get to free agency and you earn it. But I've said this all along. It's like free agency is kind of a broken market, right? Because at this point, you're 28 to 31 years old, and then now you're on the market, and those are kind of like your prime years are past you. So teams that's why the Red Sox are trying this draft and develop market, and there's so much youth coming into their system, and they're kind of trying to pay these guys, right? You'll start to hear extensions for Roman Anthony, extensions for Christian Campbell, extension for Garrett Crochet, because they're at the age where you're trying to tie them up long-term and take advantage so they buy them out of their free agent, if that makes sense.
Brett, if the Red Sox wanted to exert their muscle and use the opportunity they have with Nesson and the Boston market and all that, couldn't they dominate all but two to three teams in the sport? Like, isn't the chasm the biggest it's ever been because of the RSNs that have gone under?
They'd be able to dominate. And they could spend, Curtis, right now, you had a good interview the other day on the winter weekend and that thing was called, right?
Yeah.
So they could absolutely dominate. They were – 9 teams went over the CBT last year. Red Sox were not one of the 9 teams that went over. They could spend about $40 million on payroll this year, and their penalty is about $3 to $4 million for going over the CBT in taxes.
Nothing.
That's it, right? So they could absolutely – just assert themselves. They could sign Bregman. They could sign another back-end reliever, which I still think they're going to do. And then they can go out and they could get Vladimir Guerrero next year. There's just really it's they could absolutely dominate.
Do you think if Bregman had groped his mom on social media, they'd have signed him by now?
Probably would have given him a better chance. it's crazy. You know, it's crazy. And Curtis, you and I spoke about it with Ken on that on the Greg the charity run, the 5K.
He's going to finish soon.
He's almost done. I wish that the Red Sox when they throw out that docuseries, the Netflix 2004, wasn't that the pinnacle of Red Sox ownership when they just refused to lose,
yes.
Right? And they refused to lose to the Yankees. I feel like right now they could absolutely dominate the market, right? The Celtics, Courtney said it the other day, the Celtics just look bored, right? The Bruins are kind of apathetic. The Patriots are 2 to 3 years away maybe from being good again with Vrabel. The Red Sox have an opportunity in this marketplace to absolutely assert themselves, get the fans back, turn into a winning program, and this is the opportunity to do it, and it just doesn't seem like they want to take advantage of it. It's crazy to me. I don't get it.
Brett, great to talk to you. Thanks.
Love you, Brett.
Thanks for checking
Bye, Greg.
In.
Have a good trip to Miami, Greg.
Great to hear from
hey,
you.
Hey, Greg.
Yes.
Hey, Greg, remember your headphones for the plane tomorrow. Nobody wants to hear your podcast.
Good point.
I'm well over Preach. That happened one time. What happened one time?
And you were talking about a girl brushing her hair.
I will probably read a book
All right.
On the flight down.
The A.J. Brown book?
Inner Excellence or whatever it was?
I mean, I just finished the latest John Grisham novel.
Excellent. You would be a Grisham guy.
It is. What does that mean?
I don't know. It just seems very you.
That sounded bad.
Because I like a good legal thriller.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you know. A little whodunit or something.
No. Story of two best friends who grow up together, play baseball together.
Mm-hmm.
One ends up leading a life of honesty and goodwill, and mm-hmm. the other becomes a hardcore criminal, and the two end up facing off throughout life.
Is it Camino Ghosts?
Yes, I think that's
Let me
it.
Know when that comes out on Netflix or Hulu, because that does sound pretty interesting. That you know, does sound really interesting.
It's very good.
Yeah, let me like know it. when they make a series for that. I'll definitely check it out.
Greg brings a big book, and he just has it out when people are boarding, so people think he's smarter than he is.
And now he's like LeBron?
It's like he brings the Bible.
You want to read it? I will help you with the big words.
No, it's not about the big words.
I will be able to help you with the big words.
I just don't have like the I don't
have the patience to read.
It's not the patience.
You don't want to enrich yourself.
No, it's not the patience. It's the
knowledge.
No, it's just like the attention, like
ability.
No, I get bored. I get bored.
You get bored reading
very quickly.
I see.
Very quickly.
I see.
Well, so, but I'll watch that.
I feel sorry for you.
No, I'll watch that. Listen. What are you learning from reading that I can't watch from a documentary?
I don't think that's the name of that Grisham book. Now you got me freaking out.
That was the 2024 one that had popped up.
If you want a good book, read The Will of the Many. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. The Will of the Many.
What's that about?
Yep.
Can they make that into a Hulu?
Oh, they definitely could, Wick. Mm-hmm. It'd be a good one.
All right, we got to take a break. Oh, it's a Bruins God. Thursday. Mike Milbury will join us next.